listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, walking into another dimension and being really bored by it. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, channeling his favorite interliminal spaces. We're talking some of the back rooms. It was a movie, and now it's a movie. I knew nothing about the lore.
YouTube shorts, yeah. There's a... Exactly, yeah.
It's all based on a photo from a department store that was being renovated, like, way, way back, and then that was creepy, and people developed a whole mythology around it. And then Kane Parsons made a series of YouTube shorts about it, which gained its own creepypasta following, eventually leading to this film. It's an interesting idea. I don't know that from a movie perspective there's enough there to build a whole story around it, but it's an interesting idea.
I really enjoyed it. I knew nothing about the lore. I just knew, like, you know, what it was, like a whole bunch of, like, you know, back rooms, you know, things look weird, and you know, there's spaces that go on forever, and, like, there are monsters back there, and it kind of delivered on all that, so I was into it, but I don't know if, like, I knew about the lore if I would have appreciated as much of a movie as what it was. Like, I don't know how that falls here.
That's exactly the issue I discuss in my review on the website as well, is that I have a feeling that if you know the lore, then you're going to appreciate this movie more. It's almost like there's half a movie here, and if you want the full story, you have to go watch a bunch of supplemental materials that I wasn't going to watch because I've got too much other shit going on.
Yeah.
I'm busy, okay?
Yeah, life happens. Before we continue on, though, I want to take a minute to thank our sponsors this week, Devlin McGregor. Cutting-edge pharmaceutical research, fantastic health benefits, and a great legal team. What more could you ask for from your trusted national brand? From Cook General in Chicago to Cook County, Texas, Devlin McGregor, you can trust us to get the data right. Thank you this week to our sponsor.
Backrooms is a movie starring
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I want to say some of the letters are silent or there's some accent I don't know how to say there, but we're going to go with your saying because it's at least somewhat better than the mangled version I would have done for it. He plays Clark, the owner of a failing furniture store. And this is part of the thing that I actually did like, that when he discovers the back rooms, it's empty and soulless and very corporate, and it kind of feels like an extension of himself. There's like this dichotomy between him and the existential dread that he feels and this made manifest area that are the back rooms. Because what he finds is this, not even a fake wall, it's just like this weird dimensional soft spot that he can fall into, and he ends up in these back rooms, an endless, seeming infinite series of rooms layered on top of each other, all wallpapered in this really sickly yellow with this old 1990s wood accent paneling.
Like real like cigarette wall vibes from
yes
that, right? Like they like just smokers in there all the time,
and
like,
you know that it's gonna leak out that nicotine once in a while and you're gonna see those drips. That's exactly what it is. He finds this and he's interested in it, unlike the normal reaction which I would have, which is the what the fuck, leave, panel it up, never go back, don't want to know what's in there.
He just kept walking, right?
He just, he doesn't even go and get, like, a piece of string to follow, or, like, some chalk or something. He's just like, well, this seems like the place to explore, and just starts walking on in. I'm like guy!
By the time he hits the second room, I'm like, alright, this is all looking the same. Like, which one?
I'm already lost. I'm fucking lost. Yeah.
He's like five rooms in. I'm like, okay, I think I can remember the way back, but I'm not so sure Clark, after having a night fool bender of fucking, you know, Captain Morgan, is ready to turn around and find his way out.
No. So he ventures on in and starts exploring, and over the course of several days, he starts mapping out everything he could find in this back rooms area, quote unquote back rooms.
Right.
He tells his therapist about it because he's in therapy because he was sad and depressed and in a lonely job that he hated when all he really wanted to do was be an architect, and he was an alcoholic and he got into a massive fight with his wife and she left him and kicked him out. So it's a whole thing that's going on with him. He needs to find himself, and supposedly he's going to find himself in these back rooms, which he kind of does but kind of doesn't. And this is one of the problems that we're going to go over. And so she doesn't believe him, but when he doesn't show up again for a few days, she goes to find him, and she finds the back rooms and gets lost in them as well. That's the basics without spoiling too much.
Too much, yeah.
The world building is great. The story is shit. That's my problem.
I get it. I get it. I totally get it. It's very like a stereotypical kind of like, you know, guy going to a therapist, like the role play was a little cheesy, but like, I get it. Like that's what therapy is. Like I've done therapy before. I haven't done role play, but like, you know, that's, you do things in there that get you out of your comfort zone. And that's the whole point. I did like the awkwardness that came through in there, but like the story itself, it's just, it's very one note. It's like, whatever. The interesting thing, like you said, was the world,
and
everything in there, like what's coming after them, what's behind them. Is there more than one thing back there? Is anything back there at all? Like it's just, it's crazy. It gave me vibes of, you know, this isn't just like an, like, what if this is all in his head, right? Like, this is what's going on in his head because this is how lost he is. Like, there was a lot of angles I thought that were pretty cool that they didn't really explore completely, but I felt they gave enough of a nugget to make you think about it, which was cool. But overall, like, the movie, very one note, but the world it was in was definitely very cool.
Yeah, and I think that's, as an extension of him, I felt like it was very interesting, like a part of him that he's finding, he's exploring. The unfortunate thing for me is the fact that the movie sets up very early on that this world exists separate from Clark and has for a long time, maybe for as long as human society or longer has even existed. We don't know. There's no real exploration of that. And because of that, the world doesn't exist because of Clark. If it was just an extension of him and his existential dread, that would be a perfect encapsulated story right there. Right, but it exists separate from him, and there's no explanation for why it exists, which is fine. I don't need the explanation for the why. But when the movie tries to draw a heavy parallel, intentional or not, between Clark and the world, and then you realize that the world exists independent of Clark, and Clark really is just a player in it, and the connections you're drawing are simply because Clark is there, and not because the world is feeding it, that was a problem for me. So then it becomes, so Clark is a wanderer in the world. So is he going to learn something from it? Is he going to have a hero's journey? And he doesn't. And that also bothered me.
Like, he had a villain journey almost, maybe. You know,
he like, did, but different. When the movie focuses on him for 2 hours and then he becomes the villain, light spoilers. I'm sorry, people, light spoilers. But when he becomes the villain, then, like, it kind of cuts off the ability for him to have his complete story. Then the movie kind of shifts to Mary, his therapist, becoming the heroine. But she doesn't have nearly enough development to actually carry the protagonist title. So we're left with a void at the center of the movie, almost as big as the endless void of the backrooms themselves.
Cool, that right there. Like, chef's kiss on that weave. That was beautiful.
Unintentional, but it kind of just worked that way.
It worked really well. That was a great allegory for what this movie was
thank
about.
Thank you. But that's a problem. Like, two hollow people, not hollow because they're hollow as characters, but hollow because the movie doesn't invest enough in their story. Like, Clark has a lot going on that happens before the movie starts, so we can't really carry that as character development. Mary has a lot going on before the movie starts, so we can't carry... We get snippets of it, but all we really get are their two stories cycling around each other, neither of which really completes itself. The movie even ends, spoiler, on kind of a denouement that doesn't have a full completion.
Yeah.
So you're like, where's the next act? Where's the addendum? Where's the post-credit scene? Where's something to finish this movie for me? And it doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And it irritated the shit out of me.
Again, like, I'm playing devil's advocate sometimes on this podcast, too. Like, I gotta wonder, like, maybe is that, and, you know, maybe this is seventh dimensional chess bullshit, but maybe that's the whole point, because there is no end. There is no, it just keeps going. We all are just players. It means nothing. Like, I don't know.
That doesn't work for me as a movie, though. That works in a series of YouTube shorts. That works if you have an endless series of content you're pointing out there, but... Mm-hmm. A YouTube series is not the same thing as a movie, and a movie has a specific demand for the audience, like something we expect. It doesn't have to be a true ending for the world, it doesn't even have to be a true ending for Mary, but you have to give us an ending to the bite of story you've given us, and Backrooms as a movie doesn't do that. You can leave us with questions, but you still have to answer something.
Yeah, there were... Often, like, a movie sometimes will leave you with more questions than answers, and that can be fine, but, like, the amount of answers you got in this movie were very few and far between. Like,
yeah,
like it exists, but like it doesn't. People know about it, but they don't. Like it's just like it's a huge interwoven world, like you said. But the movie was at its strongest when it just focused on what's going on in this space.
Yeah, and when it was just Clark exploring a weird dimension and getting creeped out by it, I was in. It wasn't. Yeah. Like, the movie's pitched as horror, but it wasn't really horror. It's, like, creepy sci-fi, but not really horror. So I wasn't, like, ever sitting at the edge of my seat going, oh, what's going to happen next? I was just kind of like, well, this is kind of cool. Let's see where this goes.
They got, like, one or two maybe cheap jump scare-esque moments. But, like, for the most part, it stayed in a good lane for what it was. But a horror movie, no. But for what that was, it did a good job doing what it did.
It did, for a weird, creepy sort of thriller, almost.
Yeah.
But there is a point where it starts to, like, try to become something more, and then it doesn't quite. And I think the big issue for me is right when the... It's not even when the monster is revealed, which we'll spoil in a second, but it's more about when the monster really starts to become a force and not just this creepy, like, side presence. So I felt like the movie was kind of being like, oh, so this is an endless labyrinth, and the monster at the middle is the Minotaur, which was a cool idea. But then it shifts and shows us that the monster is this weird mirrored version of Clark himself, which is fine if this is Clark's world and his story, but you also get this impression that the monster has existed for longer than Clark's been in the back rooms. But if, as Clark implies, the back rooms are kind of a memory and a vision mirror of our own reality, then how can a monster version of Clark exist in there before Clark exists in there? I don't get it.
Yeah. It, definitely weird there.
Yeah, weird without explanation and weird without development that you would think would actually... Like, it's setting up rules and then violating those rules all at the exact same time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of, like, you know, deep connection Clark has to the place because of the trauma he suffered, which is also, like, why, you know, Mary has a bit of a connection to it there at the end as well. Like, I don't know, but, like, there's other people, I guess I'll call them, that you come across in there. Like,
mirrored versions,
there,
yeah.
Yeah, are they other ones there, or, like, does that mean that they've been in the back, or are they a memory of someone else that's been there? Like, there's just...
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that, like...
It's just thrown in.
Think about it. Okay, like, kind of weird, but if you start to think about it, it starts to break your brain.
Yeah, or fall apart. Make... Introducing other creatures, people, creature people that live in there is a cool idea. But what we need is one or two more characters that can show us that the thing copies people, or that it takes copies of people before they even realize it's there. Having only one monster revealed and have it be Clark, or a weird giant version of Clark, and then not give us any other explanation about how these monsters are created, means that we don't understand how they're getting drawn in or why they're getting created. And you need a little explanation, because, as I said, it's like it's setting up rules and violating them at the exact same time, because it's not giving us enough. And this may be, as we were saying at the start of the podcast, where we relate back to the idea that this is a YouTube series. And there's stuff in the YouTube series that answers the things in the movie, which is great and all if you have a series. But it's not great if you're trying to just fucking watch a movie.
Yeah, again, like, you know, maybe it's because Clark spent so much time in there.
Maybe.
That's why the entity became what it was. But, like, again, to your point, you don't understand any of it. You don't understand it. It just happens. You know, the people that are also there doing research, like, you know, that's mild spoilers again, but if you know the game, I think you know that, like, there's like scientists that know it exists or whatever. They kind of weave that in a little bit, but it was I didn't understand, like, their connection to everything other than like they're just studying it, they're trying to understand it. Like, I mean, that's the whole point, right? It can't be understood, and I don't know, like,
they didn't
finish hashing out thoughts that I had that, like, I could get past, but, like, upon re-talking about it, like, it was confusing.
Yeah.
You know, for in the moment I was good, but the more you think about it, the more, like, I wanted more answers, and all I have are more questions.
Yeah. And I think that's what bothers me, because like, I can accept a movie where things happen so long as there's a little bit of explanation, but it's like, and I hate to relate it to a really bad movie, because this isn't a bad movie. It just feels like an incomplete decent movie. I relate this to Until Dawn, that really shitty remake of that PS3 4 game which has barely anything to do with the game, because right. that is a movie where shit just happens. And even mm-hmm. when they give you an explanation, quote unquote, it doesn't actually explain anything. And it's basically that we thought this would be cool, so shit just happens. I can't take a movie where shit just happens. I need something to latch onto, because otherwise you're just like, well, this was cool. And I'm like, okay, but it doesn't ground me in the reality at all.
I get it. But that's a lot of that is your critic hat talking to. And that's fair, because you need that angle and look at things. Like, I didn't see Until Dawn. I liked the game and the playthrough of it.
The game's interesting.
That, but I knew that, to your point, like the movie didn't give you what the game gave you. And it was just disappointment. I don't know if this movie gave us what your experience would be with Backrooms, you know, if you were there from the creepypasta and there through the playthroughs. Like, I've seen very few playthroughs of, like, episodes here and there. But, like, it was at least something that, for me, like, was different enough to the usual slop we get. We're like, at least it was good. Upon review and critique, like, the movie has flaws. But I would say, like, at the time, and even right now, I would say this movie is a solid B to a B-plus for me. Based off of just being different, being interesting, and having, you know, the world be cool. The story itself was lacking, so maybe that will knock it down to like a B minus now that we're talking about it. But my feels after the movie walking out was a B plus, and I was impressed. We have some other movies we're going to be reviewing coming up, you know, like Evil Dead and so on. Like, we'll see. I have better expectations for those than I did for this. I didn't know what to expect. I just thought it'd be cool. And it was cool, and I enjoyed it. And to me, that is worth my $15 at a matinee, but only $15 at a matinee.
And that's the thing is, I don't know that it was worth it to me. Like, I think if I found this on Prime later on and watched it, I would have been like, oh, that was interesting. But it's both an interesting movie and one where I found myself regularly checking my phone to see just how long I'd been sitting in the theater. Like, it didn't... Because the story wasn't there enough, it didn't get its claws in me. And the world is really interesting, like this fucked up, bland Narnia. But it doesn't have enough story built around it to hook me in. I mean, it's like later Narnia movies as opposed to the first one, which was actually kind of interesting. Like, it just, it needs something more. And it expects you to understand more than it gives you. So for someone who watches the YouTube series, I'm sure they've enjoyed the hell of it. For me, it's at best a B minus, and I don't know that I can ever watch it again because I just don't care. I don't care.
That's fine. Somebody out there listening, you know, if you've played Backrooms or watch it, let us know. Like, I'd love to know what someone else thinks too, because like I see where we're both coming from, and we don't really know. So
we don't. Like, and if this is supposed to be, if nothing else, a selling point for me to go and explore more of this world that's out there, it didn't do that for me. It was fun. It was interesting for what it was. But once I was done with it, it felt entirely disposable. Only because of the fact that I didn't care about the characters and I didn't care about the story. Which, I mean, as a movie person, those are big things to not care about.
Yeah, fair. I would say that if there is some kind of sequel to this, like, I'd be down to seeing it because I'm interested enough. I'm wondering if they continue Mary's story or if they, you know, they just move on to something else because that's the whole point. But like, I'm interested enough where I would see something about it again. But to your point, like, if this is if this comes out again in the theater, like, I can see it getting way more hype than it probably would, you know, warrant or whatever. I'd be much more apt to see this in, like you said, like a series on like Prime or something. Someone pick it up for like 4 episodes and show me something like a couple hours here and there. It could be interesting.
Yeah, but a miniseries exploration would be really interesting. As a movie, it doesn't quite have enough meat. So
I'll agree with that.
Anyway, but our opinion really doesn't matter that much. It's been out for 3 weeks. It actually came to the local theater for me because it was super popular and people wanted to see it. I wish Obsession had gotten the same treatment because it looks like I'm never going to see that one in the theater.
Oh yeah, that looks like it was crazy too.
Yeah, I want to see that one. I got to see Backrooms. So, you know, it at least I got some horror and it was fine. I didn't have to sit through another showing of Michael or... I'm seeing the thing they're still playing right now. The Devil Wears Prada 2, which they played for 4 fucking weeks near me, despite the fact that they only have 3 screens. Like, okay, sure, fine, whatever. I got to see this. I'm happy I got to see it. I want to see Obsession. I'm not going to be able to see that one until it comes out on streaming, so we'll cover it then.
Yes.
It is what it is. At least for the people that like this sort of thing, they got their movie. I'm sure they're happy. It didn't do it for me, so that is what it is.
Yeah, and that's fair. You know, yep. That's why we do these reviews. That's our opinion. You know, yep. y'all can have your opinions too, and that's the whole point. That's why we talk about it.
Yep. So. Yeah. Oh, well, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, wallpapering our own house with sickly yellow. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna go and reach out to his therapist because, you know, he hasn't left her a message in a while either, so.
We will see you all next time.